Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. Week number 5 of college football has some incredible matchups, including Mississippi State versus Tennessee. Tennessee's first trip back to Starkville since the year 2012. How will they handle Cowbell Nation and Mississippi State? Brian Silva of Rocky Top Insider joins us on this edition of the Stingray Show to do a preview from Tennessee. And then Steve Robertson, host of The Boneyard, joins us to preview Mississippi State and Tennessee right now on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee. You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look, no.
Heath, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside the Tuesday evening edition of the Stingray Show. To start, we are going to talk with the road team, the Tennessee Volunteers. And to do that, we are about to be joined by Rocky Top Insiders on Ryan Silva. Ryan, how are things with you up on old Rocky Top?
It's been good. I think there was a little bit of a hangover of some disappointment after the Georgia loss, considering how close Tennessee was to, you know, having that kind of historic win, the first under Josh Heupel over Georgia is what it would have been.
Yeah.
But Tennessee responded well for the most part. The backups got in and let that score get a little closer than what it actually was, but it was still a pretty handily, easily won game by Tennessee. And so I think kind of things are rolling in the right direction for UT. The offense is starting to click. And want to see a little bit more out of the defense coming, right, going forward. But overall, I think Tennessee fans are very happy with where this team's at.
Ryan, one thing I've been impressed with is the committee at running back for Tennessee. Offensive line is clearly doing the job up front. The run offense has been very impressive. The only question mark I've got is Joey Aguilar throwing the deep ball. It looks like he's been executing that very good, kind of get some lower opponents. Kind of talk about the deep ball coming into this season, because everyone doubted Joey Aguilar throwing the deep ball. And talk about the deep ball in the Georgia game.
He's been great with the throws down the field, and that was something that it was curious to see what it would look like, because the turnover numbers got a little high, especially that last year at App State where the interceptions really went through the roof. Now, he's done a good job of managing turnovers, and really you can make an excuse for all three of his interceptions so far. It feels funny to say, but it's like the first one, it's a bit of an arm punt. It was third down, and it pinned Georgia back, not super deep in their own territory, but it wasn't like they got good field positioning off of it, and they would have had to have punt next play anyway, so it didn't really matter. The next interception, Tennessee's receiver slipped, and so the ball that looked like it probably would have moved the chains on a first down just went right into a defensive back's hands. And then the one against UAB this past Saturday kind of looked like a lot of contact before that ball got there, and then it kind of got tipped in the air and was almost like a fair catch punt into a defensive back's hands, but there probably should have been defensive pass interference. So really, the biggest question about him, the turnovers, he's done a great job of managing that. Now, I think he'll have a decent amount of interceptions by the time the season's over. It'll probably be the most a quarterback's had under Josh Heupel, which isn't a lot. I think it's like 5 or 6 right now is the most someone's throwing him at Tennessee. I assume he'll go over that mark simply because the deep ball that he throws, he tends to underthrow it more than overthrow it, which means it'll get intercepted a couple times. Now, the good news with that is it gives his receivers a chance. And that was something that when Nico threw the deep ball and sometimes when Joe Milton threw the deep ball, didn't give the receivers a chance because they were more often than not, they would overthrow it than underthrow it. Yeah. So that ball just hits the dirt. You saw Chris Brazel on one of those opening drives against Georgia, just going up through pass interference, make a great play, finds way to the end zone. You've seen him do that a couple different times. He's put a few on the money as well, don't get me wrong. But it's just when it's off, it's more likely a little short, which at the same time, too, is such a tough play for a defensive back. And a lot of the times can draw a pass interference call as well. So overall, I think you have to be really happy with where that's at. And it feels, I mean, I don't think it's a hot take at all to say it feels the best down the field throwing Tennessee's had since Hendon Hooker in 2022, which was obviously such a high mark in how accurate he was in those throws.
If you would talk about the hype of Tennessee fans getting ready to make the trip down to Starkville, a trip that they don't make very often.
I think that plays into it is it's one that Tennessee fans haven't made in a while. The last two times Tennessee and Mississippi State have met in 2019 and the last season, it's both been in Knoxville. So Especially a lot of people that maybe are younger or just gone to college football more recently than not, they haven't had, you know, the excuse to go to Starkville and check out what's going on down there. So I'm sure there will be a good amount of orange in the whiteout crowd at Mississippi State. And it'll be a cool scenery of all the white in the stands. And you know, like anytime fans color coordinate their shirts and stuff like that, it always looks cool. Same time, it might make it a little bit of a backdrop, a little canvas for all the Tennessee fans that get there. It'd be easy to pick out the orange in that crowd. I don't think it'll be Ohio State level or anything like that from last year in terms of the away fan turnout that Tennessee got. But you have to always assume Tennessee fans are going to travel pretty well. But it'll be the first road test, and that's always interesting. And Josh Heupel, if you have one big knock on him so far, he hasn't had the best track record in true road games at Tennessee. This one's not going to be easy. Mississippi State looks pretty good through 4 games. Now, they haven't played anyone amazing yet, but that Arizona State game is still a pretty solid win. And those fans are certainly bought in and fired up for what Jeff Lebby's got going. So it'll be a tough road environment. And we'll see how Joey Aguilar handles his first real, like, hostile environment start of his career.
How do you see it playing out Saturday afternoon there in Starkville, Volunteers or Bulldogs?
I'll take UT, and I'll take them, you know, by a couple score. I'll take them to cover. I don't know where the lines are right now. It opened at like 10.5 and it got down to 7.5 and it swung back a little bit, but it seems like it'll settle somewhere between there. I'll take them to cover. Right. I think part of the reason is one, I think the roster's better for Tennessee still. Mississippi State's drastically improved from a year ago. Yeah. I'm still not convinced that it's a top 25 team yet. It's probably a team that'll make a bowl game, which is such a big step for Jeff Lebby after a pretty poor season last year. No way around it. Massive step for that program. I'm just not convinced that that's a 25 team yet. So Tennessee should be able to go in. I think the offense will have a lot of success in scoring early, scoring often. I think they'll be able to establish the run game against Mississippi State, which then, of course, in turn opens up everything else in the pass game, the deep ball, and things like that. Defensively, I think Mississippi State's going to score points. I don't think that this is going to be a game that Mississippi State can't move the ball. I think they'll run the ball well. I think they'll be able to pick on some of members of Tennessee's secondary, and Blake Shapen should have a pretty good game after maybe not his best showing against NIU last week. And they'll be able to put up a good amount of points. I don't think it'll be a shootout to the level of Tennessee-Georgia where it finished 44-41, but I think it'll be a higher scoring game. I think at the end of the day, though, Tennessee will take an early lead and be able to create a little bit of separation for the time being and walk away, finish strong, and come out with probably a 10-14-point win.
You said that you're going to Starkville. Enjoy your time there. Make sure you take ear protection for the cowbells, and we will catch up with you later on.
Yeah, I got the noise canceling headphones in the bag. Don't worry, they'll definitely be in use, so I can focus a little bit during the game. But I'll have to pop them off for a little bit because I'm really excited to see what the atmosphere over in Starkville is like. Like I told you, Stephen, before the show, I haven't been there, so it's a bucket list SEC town to go to, SEC stadium to go to, and I'm really excited. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
Ryan, be safe, brother.
Thanks.
Okay, so Heath, that is going to wrap up the Tennessee side of this matchup. Steve Robertson is on deck, host of the Boneyard, to join us to do a preview of the Mississippi State side of the Tennessee matchup. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227. To schedule an appointment to build your financial security, the Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. If you're traveling east on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 13-minute drive. Crews are continuing work on Old Birmingham Highway East between 55th Avenue and Kennedy Mill Road. South on Highway 69 from Skyland Boulevard to Old Greensboro Road, it's a 7-minute drive. And crews are doing work on McWright's Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. I finally got me some water, so my voice is a lot better than the last segment. I do apologize about that. But Heath, I'm gonna blame it on this darn dryness. We need some rain.
Brother, I'm getting rained on here outside of Memphis right now. It's raining like crazy. So maybe we could share that a little bit with you here later on.
Okay, so we just finished up before the break talking about this matchup with Mississippi State and Tennessee from the Tennessee perspective. Now let's talk about it from the owner of Jeans Page and the host of the Boneyard over in Starkville, Mississippi, Mr. Steve Robertson. Steve, how are things with you over in Starkville, Mississippi, as we sit here awaiting the Tennessee Volunteers to invade on Saturday?
Yeah, we're doing great. I like to tell those that are watching the video, I'm really not a vampire. I'm not, you know, I'm not getting ready for Halloween or anything. I had a chance, my camera's broken, so I'm having to use another one. So I look a little more pale. So this is not interview with a vampire. This is really Mississippi State versus Tennessee. So
gotcha.
I rewatched that movie this summer. I forgot how terrible that movie. There's a reason why I stopped watching it. I didn't watch it anymore. But we'll save that for another show in the summer.
I can't believe they remade it, though. I mean, like number one, it was, if you love it, you love it, right? Yeah, it's right. Like, why did they remake Red Dawn? Why did they remake Footloose? Why did they remake Interview with a Vampire? Those movies were great as they were.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't come up with any fresh ideas. I mean, come on.
They can't. It's easier to go back to the well. And of course, we know the well is dry. Steve, one thing I want to ask you about this football game is the fan base that's going to be there Saturday night in Starkville. I just think it's going to be even bigger than it was with Arizona State.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be louder. I know that's hard to believe. You know, the Arizona State game, they were hoping for a win. Now they're kind of expecting a win. It's been a long time since Mississippi State's been expecting things, and it's a good thing that they're kind of getting back into that swing. Who's the better quarterback in this one? Joey Aguilar has looked great this year. There was a lot of doubts of him coming in. Blake Shapen's always been injured, but we've seen what he's done. He's been MVP of the Big 12 game before. Who's got the better quarterback in this matchup?
I think that remains to be seen.
Okay.
And I give Joey Aguilar a lot of credit. I mean, this is a guy that didn't get the benefit of spring practice with Tennessee. He's had to put all this together in the offseason. He's been very good with ball security. He's got three picks, and one of those came against UAB this past Saturday on a deflected pass. Like a corner gets in there on Brazel, bounces up, safety nabs it. So that's not on your quarterback. You know, so he's doing a good job protecting the football, and they're doing a good job protecting him. Tennessee's just allowed two sacks. And, of course, mm-hmm. they played Georgia, right? Maybe you don't expect UAB or Syracuse to get to the quarterback. You expect Georgia to get there. So in four games, they've allowed just two sacks. And they do a lot of tight end concepts with him where it's kind of like a delayed release where he engages to block and then turns loose. And he's been a really good safety valve for him. What is interesting to me is there's not much rotation at wide receiver. You only have four players on this Tennessee roster with 10 catches or more, and one of them is the tight end. You know what Brazel can do, long, lengthy receiver. It'll be interesting to see the matchup with him and Kelly Jones. But, you know, I think Blake Shapen can take advantage of these injuries and inexperience in this Tennessee secondary because everybody else has. I don't know, maybe outside of Georgia, if Tennessee has faced wide receivers they're going to see from Mississippi State on Saturday. Now, Georgia ran the football 55 times against Tennessee, 55 times. They had to pass it late. Of course, Gunnar Stockton just throws up a wing and a prayer. It turned out more of a prayer than a wing, but it gets caught and forces overtime. But this secondary at Tennessee is not good. They've allowed 1,114 yards, which is the most in the Southeastern Conference. They've allowed 19 passing plays for 20 yards or more, which is dead last in the Southeastern Conference. So I think this game is going to boil down to who can influence the quarterback and who can't. If State can protect Blake Shapen, State has a chance to go win this football game. If they can't, Tennessee's going to win. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But if State can get to Aguilar, make him uncomfortable, I think you got to be a little more exotic in your pressures. So I'm not ready to call that aspect of it, but I think it boils down to quarterback play.
Steve, you and I have been there covering the games. We were there against Arizona State and then, of course, against Northern Illinois. And there were a lot of drives in the Arizona State game in the second half where Mississippi State's offense really sputtered and just look like deer in the headlights. And then there's other times where it's really humming and there's chunk plays being made and they're going to the end zone. How concerned are you about the deer in the headlights from this offense and being consistent enough against Tennessee?
Well, I don't know that I would call it deer in the headlights. I think it's really more of a lack of execution. If you go back and look at some of those drives, it's State getting in their own way. It's not State being intimidated or being overwhelmed by pressure or coverage or anything like that. I mean, you go back and look this past weekend, you know, State has multiple explosive running plays that are called back for a hold, you know, and I thought that the crew was a little flag happy, but the holds that I saw, at least two of the three, I thought were legitimate. You know, there was one that was a little bit ticky-tack, but you know, State kind of got in their own way. And then I think in the Arizona State game, this is the thing that I think is important about State. How many times in the past has the moment been too big for State? You get up 17-0, they come back and tie it, and you already think, I know how this movie's going to play out. I've seen this so many times before. But you bring in guys like Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans that don't know the natural order of things in the SEC, and you're like, nah, I'm going to go make a play and win a ball game, and they do. Wow. So I think State grew up a lot in that moment. And so I don't think the moment will be too big playing Tennessee. State went toe-to-toe with Tennessee for a while last year. They knocked Nico Amaleva out of the game. People forget that. You know, and then late in that game, Heupel's like, I'm tired of playing with these guys. Just give it to Sampson and get out of here.
Right.
State just didn't have enough offensively last year. And people forget Michael Van Buren was a true freshman quarterback. Blake Chapin didn't play against Tennessee. And so – I think this is going to be a better game, and some people are anticipating. And, of course, I think that the spread opened at 9.5 and was down to like 7.5. And I think this is going to be a very competitive game. I do think Tennessee is extremely leaky in the secondary.
Right.
And so that's where you begin to ask, how does that influence the defensive play calling? Do they play an extra safety? Do they back the backers up a little bit? Can State then kind of allow the running game to get going? Can you get things rolling against that Tennessee front, which is really good? If you can make Tennessee commit a safety to the box, I think Mississippi State can win this football game.
I would like for you to speak on, because last year Mississippi State was dreadful on defense. Talk about the upgrade that you have seen and the strides that this Mississippi State defense has made from last year to this year, please.
Well, I don't want to talk poorly of anybody, right? But the truth of the matter is State had some guys here last year that weren't good enough to play here,
right?
You know, and I think it was the Arkansas game. State on the interior against one of the most grueling running teams in the country and certainly in this conference, started Kai McClendon, a 6-foot true freshman defensive tackle out of Gulfport, Mississippi. He's gone for the year this year with an ACL, and we do think he's got a bright future ahead of him. Next to him was Corey Clark, a junior college player that they signed in June that didn't have anywhere to go. And then you're trying to go win an SEC game with those guys. I mean, it's almost cruel and unusual punishment.
Right.
Well, now, you know, you look like an SEC football team up front. You know, Northern Illinois is a run-first offense. This is an offense that went into South Bend, Indiana, and beat Notre Dame last year, a team that played for the national championship. State held them to 125 yards rushing, their lowest total of the year. In addition to that, they've been averaging 74 yards on defense and rush defense. They played Maryland, played Holy Cross. I mean, you know, Holy Cross is Holy Cross, right? But Maryland's a power four opponent. And you've given up 148 yards. State ran for almost 300 against those guys. So the physicality to kind of exert your will exists now where it didn't a year ago. Last year, it was just, I mean, it was painful.
Yes.
Because you knew, I mean, teams didn't have to take a risk in the passing game. You just line up and run it right at State, and you're getting 5 and 6 yards a carry. Why would you ever throw it? You know, it's different. Teams have to kind of attack this team with a more honest, you know, offense these days.
So, Heath, I understand that you have a question, but we've got to throw it to break. And when we come back, we are going to continue to discuss Mississippi State and Tennessee with Steve Robertson. That's on the other side of the break. And you're listening to the Stingray Show. Be back in a flash.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Season never ends. 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football? Events. And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. And with that, we want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show. Our guest this evening is Steve Robertson, host of The Boneyard. We are talking about Mississippi State and Tennessee this weekend. And Heath, you had a question for Steve before the break about the Tennessee defense. So continue your question about the Tennessee Volunteer defense this weekend.
Looking at this Tennessee defense, you talked about how the secondary was leaky, your term. This rush defense, is there anything that shocks you, stands out to you, anything that catches you off guard or wows you? What do you know about this Tennessee defense?
They can eat up double teams. And what's interesting, UAB had one rushing first down in the game. One. That's it. One. At 18 first downs total, 17 of them came through the air. So not a single penalty first down. So Tennessee didn't beat themselves. You know, and how many times do you see it, right? On third and short, you get a hard count. Yeah, you see it all the time. This is a very well-coached group. And it's going to be interesting. You know, State's been wanting to rotate three guards, three tackles, and then play Cannon Boone at center. I think maybe if you find five that work well together in this game, I think maybe if you can get the running game going, you ride that five for a while rather than rotate. because this is one of the more physical fronts. I thought the Tennessee front last year was the most physical front that Mississippi State faced, bar none. And Ole Miss was really good, too. I give them a lot of credit. It's a different dynamic this year up front. But the Tennessee group, very, very disciplined, very well coached. Gap integrity is a thing that gets thrown around a lot. Those guys don't get out of the gaps. Those guys do a really good job fitting and making you bounce it outside. And if you don't have the athletes to make them pay for it, they'll just run you down and put you in third and long.
So when you look at this matchup on Saturday, Steve, where are you most concerned that Tennessee could take advantage of Mississippi State?
Well, they got 15 sacks. You know, I mean, that's one of the things that just kind of jumps off the page. And Jeff Levy mentioned that on Monday is they know how to get after the quarterback and they know how to get you behind the sticks. Now, State has shown the propensity this year to kind of recover from some of those. But you don't want, you can't win a ball game consistently getting behind the sticks, especially against an opponent as quality as Tennessee. And so that stands out to me. And I guess when you have a secondary that is as injury riddled as theirs is, you better be able to get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is the only team they've really played, I think, with any athletes that stressed them was Georgia. Outside of that, I mean, Syracuse, obviously, you know, they're a decent team, but they're not an SEC caliber roster. Mississippi State, I think, is beneath Georgia, but ahead of Syracuse. And Syracuse gets down in that ball game and kind of scratches back and kind of it's tit for tat the rest of the way.
Right.
I think the main thing, and this is one of the things that your previous guest talked about, was the fast start for Tennessee. They have scored on their opening drive four straight games. Well, so has Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And last year, Mississippi State scored 65 first quarter points the entire season. It's a much different dynamic. State is almost at that point now, you know, four games in. And so Jeff Levy and his crew are doing a better job in that respect. But I think the main thing you got to do is you got to get off to a quick start. You can't get down two scores in the first and end up kind of chasing the game. I think Tennessee's front is just not going to allow that. They'll be able to kind of pin their ears back. You can really play defense when you're up two scores. You can be real aggressive and take chances. And that's what State has to avoid.
Steve, looking at special teams, does anything jump out at you in this matchup with Tennessee and Mississippi State?
It's funny. I looked at those numbers just a little while ago. I think both kickers will give you touchbacks because that's what they've done all year. I think Tennessee's only had three kickoffs that didn't result in touchbacks. State's kind of been the same boat, and one of those was a ball that was run out of the end zone. State did kick one ball out of bounds. Marlon Hawk's done a good job this year. That's the only mistake he's made, but it seems like it all kind of came in bunches. Like, State had five special teams penalties last week, and that's something you got to clean up. You can't do that. Even in a win, that's unacceptable. But, you know, I think for State, too, I think you got to maybe abandon the two-punter system. I think Ethan Pulliam has kind of proven to be the better punter, and you're going to need somebody to flip the field. You don't want to give Tennessee the short field. You want to make them drive the length of the field, and I think, you know, Pulliam's had a couple of kicks over 50 yards. He's had multiple inside the 20. He had a couple of really big ones. I thought his best game as a punter came against Northern Illinois. You're going to need that as a weapon. Now, Tice is a guy. It's an Australian rules guy. He's had two punts for 21 yards. And both of them have immediately led to opponent points. And so I think in a game like this, you have to go with the hot hand. And I think that's got to be Ethan Pulliam. And, you know, and looking at what, you know, Tennessee has done, they haven't allowed many returns. That tells me you're getting a lot of hang time on those punts. And so I think with State's, you know, block in the backs last week, they had two on one play and only one of them got called. I mean, it's just kind of part of the deal. Anthony Evans is a weapon. I don't know how many opportunities he'll have to return it, but you may be better to adopt the Mike Leach philosophy and just fair catch it and go play offense rather than just kind of screw up your operation. But I don't think there's going to be many plays made in the return game because both teams have such good specialists. But I think if somebody can get, you know, that shanked punt or a block punt or something like that, it could have a big impact in the ball game.
All right. How do you see it playing out Saturday there in Starkville between Mississippi State and the Tennessee Volunteers? And Tennessee has not invaded Mississippi State or Starkville since 2012.
And they lost that game 41-31.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things, too. You go back, Tyler Russell, you know, throws a great pass to Malcolm Johnson. He gets his foot down. They actually reviewed it. It was clear that he was in. It took forever to review that. It's like somebody in Birmingham is like, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to happen, you know. but it did. And, you know, I think Tennessee wins, but I think State has a chance to cover here. And I won't be surprised at all if State wins this game. I just think Tennessee, from a talent differential, is ahead of Mississippi State.
Right.
And talent wins a lot of ball games. Now, if State can go out there and generate some turnovers and win the turnover battle here, you got a chance because you get that extra possession. But if State doesn't beat themselves, I think Tennessee is in for a real, real fight. I don't think this is a game where Tennessee just comes out and, you know, gets up big and just sleepwalks the rest of the way. One of the things I found is interesting, and I wanted to make sure we got this on the show. Deshaun Bishop is a very talented running back at Tennessee. And you hear all this chatter about the cowbells. And, of course, every time State begins to win, all of a sudden we have to revisit the cowbell issue, which I think just kind of shows how soft the rest of the league is at times. I mean, you know, but Bishop said in the Monday media availability at Tennessee, he said, I can't wait to hear those cowbells. He goes, you know, hearing them on TV, when I watch them, it's very intriguing. I can't wait to hear it in person. And then, you hear other players on that team, like Talander. He's like, I think it's going to be a great environment. This is why you play college football. Yeah. And so to all of those folks, number one, don't even attend games. Okay, let's just go ahead and let's just pull the pin and throw it out there. You're not even attending the games, but you have strong opinions about Mississippi State's cowbells. Well, you can take them and shove them. But when you have the players of the Southeastern Conference saying, I can't wait to go play in that environment, this is why you play in the SEC.
Yeah.
I think you got to get over yourself a little bit. But at the end of the day, State's fans have got to abide by the Cowbell Compromise of 2010, where you're not ringing. And I thought last week the administration did a good job. It's mainly the student section. They're new, right? They weren't around that we didn't have cowbells from 1974 to 2010. They didn't live through that like we did. So we're educating people on how to ring responsibly. Yes. It was much better last week. I think it'll be better. And, of course, there'll be a lot of SEC observers there kind of making sure we're holding compliance. And so that's an important aspect. Create a good home environment, but make sure we abide by the compromise.
So we are up against our final break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to finish up this interview with Steve Robertson. That's on the other side of the break. And you're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back to finish it up right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, one day closer to the Dogs and the Crimson Tide. We'll continue with our Southern Alehouse score prediction day. We'll talk to Aaron Torres, and we'll talk to someone on the other side of the fence, Brooks Austin. He covers the Dogs daily. We'll feature him starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center on northbound Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's a 7-minute drive. Also west on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker. It's a 14-minute drive. Watch for ongoing construction on Old Birmingham Highway East between 55th Avenue and Kennedy Mill Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
At your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269, Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
And with that, we want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show. And now let's finish up our interview with Steve Robertson, host of The Boneyard, talking about other topics in the SEC. Steve, before we get out of here, I would love to get your take on the hot topic out of Norman, Oklahoma, of Auburn getting absolutely screwed by the refs in that game on Saturday. Your thoughts on Auburn and Oklahoma, please.
Well, I didn't get a chance to see the game because I was covering the game, but I have seen the clips. And that's one great thing about social media. If you miss anything, somebody will clip it, show it to you later. I didn't think it was just the one play, though. You know, the scoop and score they took off the board. When I saw that, I don't know if there was really enough to overturn that. And obviously, I'm not a replay official. I don't know what the requirements are to do that. And at times, I wonder why we even have replay. And this is kind of one of them. I didn't think there was enough to overturn it. And I don't have any skin in the game whatsoever. So that scoop and score, that's a touchdown that comes off the board for Auburn. And then you have Satania in a hideout position. And every official in flag football knows you can't do that. And we paid so much money to – As a member institution of the Southeastern Conference, I mean, we are the premier conference in the country when it comes to football. Officials need to be held to a higher standard. And now, Greg Sankey has been very responsive to this stuff at times. I'll be surprised if that crew is officiated in an SEC game this weekend. I'll be surprised if they are. Because there have been situations in the past where these things have popped up and Sankey has acted and in the best interest of the league and been very transparent about it. And I know there's some people in striped shirts that don't like it when they get transparent. I think transparency is great for the game. And the fans are stockholders like never before in the Southeastern Conference. You have an obligation to your fans and to your schools to ensure that there is a fair assessment and enforcement of the rules. And when that is violated, when that trust is breached, the public needs to know that these people are being held accountable.
Yeah. You know, Steve, something that Steven and I talked about on the show last night is there's two things we think that the SEC and all conferences could do, and we would avoid so many more of these situations. Stop with the conference officials. Make them NCAA officials. There's no such thing as an SEC official anymore. And just kind of make it all even. I'm okay if you keep crews together, but I would like to see this, that the officials, we're holding the coaches to a press conference after a game. We're holding players to a press conference after the game. I think we need to hold officials to a press conference after a mandatory press conference. I think if you do those two things, a lot of this stuff gets cleaned up, especially the replay official. I think it would get cleaned up. Your thoughts on how we can clean it up and make officiating better? Because I've heard on your podcast many times, especially when it comes to girls basketball, women's basketball, that the officiating is just terrible at times. We've seen it in SEC baseball. We see it like we did this past weekend with SEC football. Your thoughts on how we can make officiating better in the SEC / college sports?
Well, yeah, I think we have taken some steps. We're not there yet. The one thing I would say years ago, back when Southern Sports Tonight was a thing, I recommended to Max Howell, we needed to make the white hat available for postgame for explanation on certain calls. I don't know the harm in that. I mean, it's like we expect an 18-year-old kid who dropped a touchdown pass in the Iron Bowl to go stand before the media after his heart's been ripped out. He's embarrassed. By the time he picks up his phone, everybody's clipped that. They're tagging him in it. They're making fun. We expect that kid to go face the media, but a grown man can't go do it and explain a call that he made. That's a joke, man. That is an absolute joke. We expect coaches to go in there and defend their decisions. And the reality of it is the officials aren't making decisions. They're enforcing the rules. And if you have done a good job enforcing the rules, you should have no problem explaining yourself.
I think
that's the problem. I think they're worried that people like us will put them in a situation where they're probably going to say something that they shouldn't, right? And it's maybe a situation where there's some ambiguity. And I commend Greg Sankey and those guys. We had back in Hoover 2 years ago, there was the wild LSU-South Carolina game. You remember that in baseball? And we had the catcher balk, and it was all kind of stuff like that. Before the press conferences, you had the head of SEC baseball officiating come out and explain the rule and explain how things were called. I thought that was a beautiful thing. We need more of that in football. I don't know what we're scared of. You know, that's the thing that bothers me. The more that you keep private, the more these conspiracy theories are going to pop up.
Yeah.
And I've recommended, when we had some issues a while back, I wrote an article, you can probably find it online, called Refs, Lies, and Videotape. And it got a lot of traction. And there were some calls that were like favoring Alabama, or at least appeared to. And the point that I was making is Alabama didn't need any help, right?
Right.
So I think in some ways it was disrespectful to Alabama, who was an incredible team and won a national championship that year, to make it look like that the officials were helping them because they simply didn't need it. And so I think in some ways it made these people buy into this conspiracy that the league is protecting Alabama. I don't believe that was true, but that's the appearance. And once it gets on Twitter, it becomes fact.
So Steve, look, man, this has been a blast, as it is always. Go and enjoy the prep work for Tennessee this weekend. Enjoy covering the game, and we would love to catch up with you to continue our discussion of the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Steve, I want to ask you one quick thing as we walk out the door. Your thoughts on the three permanent opponents for Mississippi State, that being Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and Alabama starting next year in 2026. Your thoughts?
Well, John Cohen worked for like 6 years to get Alabama off the schedule, and then now we've got him right back after, what, a two-year hiatus, you know? I think a lot of Mississippi State fans enjoy playing Alabama, not just because of the fact that it's a shorter drive, but also, too, State is, when they've won, it's been very significant because Alabama has been the measuring stick. And I think economically, when you begin to think about the new world in which we live, there was some chatter that Texas A&M was going to be there instead of Alabama. Texas A&M is not going to sell their allotment of tickets at Davis-Wade Stadium. But you know what? The fine folks from Tuscaloosa, Alabama are going to buy up every ticket available. And so economically, it makes a lot of good sense for state. And then you get Vanderbilt. That's, what, 4 hours from here? And then you get Ole Miss just up the road. So I think it's going to work really well, I think, for the fan experience, because I think Mississippi State folks, while they may not want to admit it, like playing Alabama, but you've got three SEC opponents that are going to be in a reasonable driving distance, so you can attend those road games and have a really nice contingent of Mississippi State fans there.
Steve, look, man, good luck. Hail State this weekend, and we'll catch up with you later on, okay?
See you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
So that is going to put a wrap on this edition of the Stingray Show. We've got about 30 seconds left for me to tell you that tomorrow evening, immediately following Hey Coach, we are going to be diving into Alabama and Georgia with Joe Gaither from Bama Central, and we're going to have a Georgia beat writer join us. So continue to listen to Tide 100 after Hey Coach, as we will talk about the matchup in Athens, Georgia, between Alabama and Georgia, that is on the Wednesday evening edition of the Stingray Show, and we will see you tomorrow evening at 7:30. Have a wonderful Wednesday out there, West Alabama. Catch you tomorrow.